The weekend bang is here, people. I'm Sir Aaron Carter. For real. I'm trying out new voices for my potential voice acting career. Anyway, we got a great show for you, but before that, what I want you to do is spread the VGB love by telling your friends to give us a like and some feedback on Twitter at Video Game Bang, and do the same on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/VideoGameBangBang.
We're talking about esports today and why you might consider it for a career. Plus, we go over the PlayStation experience. Well, just a little. All that plus a special guest on this week's
Video Game Bang. Hey, my Corey voice isn't too bad either. Go to NerdReactor.com while you're at it. Go to NerdReactor. I have an article coming out, Ugly Sweater. They have all the latest and greatest in geek news, reviews, all sorts of stuff going on that website. They're good to us. That's where our article's going to be for the top 15 video games of 2014. So that'll be coming out very soon. But like we said, we have an awesome show this week. Wow, terrible.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the issue gets real.
People get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Everybody's staring at me right now. Yeah. Everybody is staring at me. Hello, everybody. Sir Aaron Carter here with the Weekend Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. Everybody's waiting for me to say something crazy. Everybody thinks I'm going to do what I always do.
You build up an expectation.
Flip out. But that's not what I'm going to do today, you know? And it should be a day of flipping out because there was a lot of video game news happening from today, yesterday, and even tomorrow. And even tonight. Like, the next 3 days, or the last 3 days, or whatever.
What are you talking about? Is it all from this PlayStation thing?
Well, PlayStation, of course, PlayStation Experience just happened today. If you're listening to it on a Monday, 2 days ago. Yesterday was the Video Game Awards.
Ah, yes.
Tomorrow is the second day, I guess, of PlayStation, you know, Experience. They're doing a two-day event in Vegas. If you're out there, screw you.
Because we're here.
Yeah, because we're here. I would have loved going there. There's tournaments going on right now in the esports world, which is crazy.
What's going on?
We'll get to it right now. Hold on. You heard his voice, everybody. If he was a Street Fighter character, and I got a whole list up here. He's waiting.
You better be careful. Choose your words carefully here, Persian.
He'd be Rolento.
Why are you guys going to give me crap? I don't know what it is.
Rolento? Corey Vincent, everybody.
Rolento? Seriously? What is that? That sounds like a candy.
Rolento, everybody. Good or bad character?
Rolento?
Yes.
He's alright.
Is he a big fat guy?
No, he's not a big fat guy.
Okay.
Usually he's got a stick.
You got a stick. Grenades. Throws grenades, knives.
Okay,
I'm down.
Wow.
You talked me into it.
He's from Final Fight.
Okay. From Final Fight, yeah. Made the jump over to Street Fighter.
Come on, man. You know.
You could have got worse. You could have got worse.
I would have rather.
You could have got Dan.
Could have given me Zangief.
You heard his name. You heard his voice, excuse me. And there's his laugh. He's not sneezing while he does this time.
Yeah.
If he were a Street Fighter character, I'm pretty sure he can figure out who he'd be.
Is there a Mexican?
El Fuerte.
Oh, wow. Hey, Beltran, everybody. I'm Mexican, and I'm a chef. I'm a cook right now.
So. Boom, it does.
Wow.
So yeah. It hits up. Hits two
El
points.
El Fuente.
Fuerte, sir.
El Fuerte.
I actually played as him one time. And,
he's actually pretty damn
he's actually
right
pretty
now.
Good.
What does that mean? The flame?
El Fuerte, the strong?
The strong? Oh, Fuerte, yeah.
What is flame in Spanish?
Fuego.
Fuego.
Okay.
Damn it.
And we have a special guest today, everybody.
Yeah.
You should get excited for him because we are. And if he were a Street Fighter character, I have to pick somebody that I don't know. So I'm going to go with he'd be Q.
Q, I'll take that, yes.
What's Q?
Q's from the Third Strike.
Third Strike, yes. Looks like a trench coat, a little mask on.
He's kind of like a robot guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
I know nothing about that character.
Why can't you go more traditional? If you give yourself someone mainstream.
John, for me. Jason Gist, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
There it is.
He is from the capital.
You want
to
go?
You want to say at the same time?
Jeez. freaking close the notes from where he's from. Capital Fight District.
Capital Fight District.
CFD.
We met him at Gamers Funk Lab for the Sacramento listeners. If you're not going to these tournaments,
you need to be out there.
You're missing out because they're fun. It's not. You don't even have to be playing.
What was it?
Fun.
A Street Fighter and Madden one going on?
Yeah, we did a Street Fighter and Madden.
It's
yeah.
fun just to people watch at these things.
It definitely the people watch and spectating and little side thing. I saw arenas for esports now.
Oh yeah,
huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's crazy, and I was like, "How many people could just like sit and watch?" But then when you actually go to one of these things, you're like, "Okay, yeah."
Well, you heard about where they held the League of Legends one this year, right?
The Thunderdome.
They held it in South Korea in Seoul's World Cup Stadium that they had.
In Seoul's World Cup Stadium.
He's talking about Seoul, Korea, Seoul, I believe.
You know, whatever it's called. Yeah, they had it in there. Like they had like half the field was the actual stage,
uh-huh.
and then the rest was just seats for people to sit and watch. And then on top of that, there was.
If it was that one they built for the World Cup, that's a huge stadium.
Yeah, it was.
That
it was
is
ridiculous.
A huge stadium.
Because there was people, of course, on the field, uh-huh. And then there was people on the stand. On the stands, it's like Man. The most watched, like esports. I think event they said they it's ever been done.
Well, in the United States, Valve, up in Seattle, they take the arena where the Supersonics used to play.
Oh yeah,
and then they have
Key Arena.
Yeah, then they have their big. Tournament for Dota 2.
Oh, wow.
It's called the International. They do it every
so
year.
So this is real, people.
Yeah, yeah, esports is a up and rising thing. I wasn't on par
it's
with. I wasn't
cool.
on there yet.
It's kind of like when you go to we went to the game store, local game store to watch the tournament. It's mm-hmm. like watching street ball.
Yeah, yeah. Those
kids
are your.
This is like we're just your current neighborhood kids. You know, like going to the park and watching the kids play.
But
the level isn't at the peak, but it's competitive enough.
So you've been in the game for a while,
yeah.
watching these tournaments and everything like that.
Yeah.
When we're talking about what he's talking about, the street ball level, are there any like scouts or something like that? Someone that comes in and you're like, I like the way you smash, bro. So I want to cut. Here's my card.
Where's the comma in that sentence? Is it, I like the way you smash, bro? Or is it, I like the way you smash, bro?
Smash, bro.
So Super Smash.
So he's watching. Yeah, he's watching him play Super Smash Brothers.
Okay, okay.
And, you know, he's tearing it up as Ike, and he's like, you know what? I like the way you smash, bro. Here's my card.
Here's my card. Yeah.
Get in contact with me if you know you want to make some money. Is there any scouts or anything like that?
No, not necessarily. Where a lot of competitors will end up getting sponsors is by being on stream and doing very well.
Is that the biggest venue? Is it like streaming? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, streaming is big. Also, almost every month there's a. In the community, the fighting game community, we call regionals, where, okay. Like,
this is
right
like Glee.
Now...
Yeah, we also call it, yeah, and Glee, the regionals.
Sectionals and regionals yeah. and nationals.
No, not like that at all, actually. right now in Philadelphia, there's one called NEC going on right now, and it's a pretty big tournament on the East Coast.
What's the game for NEC?
Well, it's a Street Fighter, it's Ultra Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, they're doing it. Everything. Killer Instinct. Right now, a Guilty Gear excerpt, but they're also doing the previous version, Exit Core plus R. Under Night and Birth. Pretty much almost anything you can play.
What's cool, because people who are listening to the show a lot, they might not know who you are, because we got listeners across the country. Where do you... Tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience
yourself.
In the world. Yeah.
Okay, well, I've pretty much been gaming ever since I can remember. Let's see... I think the first game I actually beat was when I was 6. It was DuckTales on the
NES.
Oh,
wow. Good start.
So, well, you beat it?
Yeah. Once you learn the Pogo games.
Game. Yeah.
You got that meta going.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But then, when I get older, I start going to arcades a lot. I know the second grade I started playing Street Fighter 2. I remember because I couldn't play unless I was wearing roller skates. Like, I'd have to go to a roller rink so I could stand up to actually play.
Wow.
Yeah. Then after that, everything, you know, me liking fighting games or something was just super casual and, you know, just play with my friends. But in 2009, when Street Fighter 4 came out to the US on consoles, that's when I started getting more focused into fighting games because you'd play people online and, oh crap, these people are way better than I am. And how do I get better? And then you find people around locally and then also talking to people online to help level.
So you actually run the Capital Fight District. Was there, before you actually started running and hosting tournaments, was there a period where you were like, I can go pro? Or how far did
God,
you
no.
go yourself? No?
God, no. No way. I'm not, you know, I always play. I love to play fighting games. They are my favorite type of game to play. as far as how good I am, I'm not that good. But that doesn't mean I don't like to learn. I don't like to get better.
So what's the idea and like the mission statement? Why do you do Capital Fight District?
Well, my main reason to do it is because since I was born, raised in arcades, there's no more arcades. And if you go to an event, it feels like you're at an arcade. And that's one of the main reasons I like to do it. And another reason is gaming has been forced to be in your room away from other people, but trying to connect to them online. This is a way to be a part of a community and to be social and to get out and meet fellow people.
Cool. So, I mean, esports, like I said, has been big. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's been drawing me kind of away from esports is it doesn't seem like there's real one to rule them all. Like, there is basketball, you got, you know, the NBA, you got football, the NFL, and then soccer is a whole monster on its own. You know, they got...
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, we don't have to talk about
it's soccer. Around the world. We can go a whole show on that. So in the you know, sports world, what's the number one? What's dominating? Is there a league that's out there? There's something I got to be good at? Call of Duty? League of Legends?
I think the most popular one is the ESL, and I think that's mostly StarCraft 2.
Mm.
But they do other MOBAs also, like Dota and League of Legends. But I think it's the most popular one because it has the most has the bigger pop prize. But then there's other things, like in America you got MLG, and they're still around, and they do different things. They do StarCraft as well as League of Legends, but then they also do some console things, like the latest Call of Duty, Halo.
Is it like seasons? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, they do seasons. Every few months they'll be at a new location, and then the sponsored players will always go. But then there's, you know, the local players that'll show up.
Is there like a whole world at this where you're like, because like in the NBA and especially football in America, we follow every single player and we know. And like for a player to transition to another sport, like, does this stuff happen, or when people like lose their sponsorship?
Oh, that was a big deal. There is. Yeah, I mean, if you love a game, you'll follow that game, especially, you know, if there's competitive players. You know, you'll see, you know, what teams, what, you know, their, you know, sponsors form teams, or actually teams are made, and then search for and go for sponsors, and then you see who leaves, who comes back. Like what I'm in the fighting game community. I follow a lot of fighting games. You know, I see, you know, who's winning, who's losing, if a sponsor picks them up or if they lose a sponsor.
Is there a player out there that's like a Michael Jordan of fight games right now, who's like...
Are you talking about everything, though? Like
a world-ranked Street Fighter, then transitioned over to... I don't know. What's another...
Well, in America, there's a player that you need to look into. His name's Justin Wong.
Oh, yeah. We know Justin. We know Justin.
Yeah, he's
Corey seems to not know who Justin Wong is. He was a big fighting game... like champion for a while. Then he actually got onto one of the games that we were playing with, Dungeon Fighter. And he was like,
he worked for them for a while.
And I don't know what he really did. I thought he gave them like tips on, you know, the fighting engine and everything like that. But, and then that was sadly.
Yeah. He could have worked it for QA or something, but right now he's a member of Team Evil Geniuses.
Oh,
so, you know, Evil Genius, they have teams for different types of games. Like,
sorry, I pulled up a picture of him.
Oh,
wow. Wow. That's the Rock cold. Right there.
Oh, man. I said Michael Jordan, people. This is
Bobby Lee.
This is Bobby Lee. Yes, sir.
But that's what it, what are you expecting? Somebody with a giant mohawk or something?
I was expecting
Flash
some big
or something?
Ripped black dude. You
no.
know? I don't know.
For what?
I don't know.
Okay, so esports, the difference I would say with esports is, I mean, they're not like in there pumping iron all the time. You know, it's kind of more dexterity, I guess, with, you know, hand-eye coordination, all that type of stuff. So, you know, you might get some buff-handed people, I guess.
I know a lot of the League of Legends teams for the LCS, their managers have them do exercise and diets, though, for sure.
It's got to be a big part of it.
Because they, like, whenever they're not playing in the actual games, they're scrimming against other teams, and then they're streaming to make themselves money as well. So they're sitting at computers almost all day. So I think they said like 2 hours a day for exercising and actually going out and doing stuff during the actual season.
Okay.
And so, I mean, So, okay, let's focus on the Street Fighter type of game. Okay. Because I see...
Big news about Street Fighter. Might as well just get it out of the way.
Yeah, huge news coming out. Sony saying, one, it's going to be exclusive to their platform.
Forever.
Forever.
They said it's going to be a console exclusive. It's going to be on the PC.
Which is paste picante sauce bold.
Yes.
Like, I don't understand how you would go out and state something like that when Bill can just trip over his stack of money and then you got... Yep. Street Fighter, yeah.
Well, look, we had the Tomb Raider announcement that Microsoft did a while back ago, months ago, saying that it was going to be exclusive, and then they were pressing, like, is it forever? And they're like, oh, we don't know. Yeah. It's up to them.
Because it's always it was like
this thing. But he said on the stage show, it'll never be on another console.
No, yeah. He said, yeah, forever. Yeah. You know, as long as you're playing Destiny, which is probably next year, then it'll be on, you know, the whatchamacallit. That was the big one. I mean, it looks a lot sharper than the previous one. And then they're also doing cross-platform play where you can play against the PC people. How do you think that's going to affect esports in general?
Well, in the grassroots community that I'm involved with,
mm-hmm.
they're going to focus more on console play. And then the top competitors, the people that place all the time and higher levels earn money, I'm sure that there will be a way, since PC has a lot more components that are, you know, being sold separately instead of just a console. You know, certain companies go out looking for sponsors, for players. And since fighting games were mostly on the console, this gives higher ranked players a chance to get on a part of that.
So more companies can come in and partner and be sponsors.
Yeah, so, you know, there could be a bigger tournaments strictly for fighting games now, if going to PC is a possibility.
But talking like grassroots, we went to the tournament recently, and it was a lot of you were saying that the number one console that people bring in is the Xbox.
Yeah, well, at first everyone played on the PS3, but then after a long time people realized that the 360 port of Street Fighter 4, I mean, this happened before any of the other updates, Street Fighter 4 was better on the 360 version because there was a lack, or because there were dropped frames.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and if you're playing the PS3 version, and especially games with Street Fighter are very frame specific in learning or doing combos or counter hit setups, if you drop those, then you can be punished for it severely.
Wow. And like, have you ever sat and actually watched, Corey, an actual like stream tournament for like Street Fighter or something like that?
My most experience was when we sat in that store and watched the tournament.
So the commentating for those, it's off the chain. Like, just as if you watched a sports event, they have their own, you know, mannerisms and their own sayings and stuff like that that go along. So like when he just said, you know, you could be punished for a dropped frame or something like that. And when I was watching, like, specifically a Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and they were like, oh, he's going to get punished bad for this. And then you see the other guy just whip on him, like, bad. I was like, punished? Like, what did he do wrong? Like, I didn't see anything. It's like in a split second, something goes wrong in a fighting game. The other player or, you know, opponent will pick up on it, and they'll just thrash the crap out of somebody. Like,
that's called the punishment.
And I guess, yeah, okay, for the mistake that you did. But there's other stuff. Like, it gets deep, and these commentators are on point most of the time. So this is
like NBA has its own thing, like, you know.
Like, if somebody slam dunked on somebody.
Hippity hop to the barbershop.
Yeah, they have a whole bunch of stuff like that, yes.
Around the world.
If you want to try watching one, every Wednesday, there's a Street Fighter tournament on Twitch that I watch. Team Spooky's channel and Level Up Live. They do big tournaments like Wednesday Night Fights and stuff like that.
Interesting.
When does it become surreal, where it's like you're playing a MLG game? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you play as this player who's playing this game versus other people. Wow. Yeah, something like that. It pulls it back. Like, Inception. Oh, MLG 2017's coming out, everybody, you know. So pick up your copy on the Xbox.
I heard that might be coming out with Project Morpheus.
See? And now it's crazy.
That's the weird part, though, too. Like, how do you know which game you want to get into? Like, in sports for humans, you know, in the real world, we have different statures and sizes and abilities. Yeah. Black people are good at jumping.
Everything.
Where are they on the American swim team?
There was a guy, a black dude, on the American swim team, was right next to Phelps.
Was it Michael Phelps?
He just happened to beat out. That weed-smoking guy just happened to beat out. Happened to beat out the one guy. But, yeah, there was a dude right next to him.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, it goes to the individual, like,
and the race,
and the race helps. How do I know which esport I'll be the best at?
You just play them all, and then the one that you, it's really not the one that you're best at, but the one that you feel more passionate about playing.
Because you play Dragon Age, and there's no esport for Dragon Age.
Yeah, there's nothing really competitive about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, and it was the reason why I've never seen myself as, like, an esport player, because I'm more drawn, of course, like I said, to the co-op than the
but there's co-op
the competitive
games, right? There's team games, like,
yeah,
League.
But when you start low like that, and you're just doing nothing but co-op versus, you know, our P versus E stuff, and then later on in life, you kind of PvP, you know, type of stuff. It, you kind of, I think you lost your good years of, because, like, you really think, you know, these are kind of young guys playing this game, you know, your reflexes are quicker and everything
like
that.
It's a young man's game.
It is kind of a young man's game.
I mean, that's not true. I mean, in some aspects it is, but I mean, a lot of the top players are, you know, close to 30.
Yeah, yeah, but I think you have to come from that type of stuff. You know, you built it up and everything like that over time. So, like, games like League of Legends, which just seems to be a really huge one. Every time I go on Twitch, that's always the number one streamed, you know, game. Unless, like, some celebrity gets on and says, "Hey, I'm going to play Mario today."
Samuel L. Jackson, yeah, play Mario. You know?
So that seems like the quickest one, and that's very fast paced. I know it can be. There's a lot of tactics in that game, even though I don't, you know, particularly play that one myself. But it seems like MOBA is the top ranking genre on there. Like, what do you think about that one?
Well, I think it is. I mean, it's very easy to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And then also usually they're free to play. So, I mean, that's a big deal right there.
That's what I was going to say. That's a huge point. And that was my first initial concern when they said Street Fighter V was going to be an exclusive. Because you'd think, for an esport and sports in general, what makes sports beautiful is that there's a soccer field down the street from just about everybody. There's basketball hoops within a mile from probably everybody in the world. You can go buy a basketball, any basketball. It doesn't have to be a Spalding.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a Wilson. It could be whatever ball you want for 99 cents, and you can go and become the greatest.
First of all, where are you buying basketballs for 99 cents?
The 99 cents.
Clearly. That's like a plastic basketball.
You can get a Nerf basketball. No, but there's always that potential where anybody can be the greatest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it could be you. It could have, well, not anymore. Oh, past your prime.
Yeah, past my FIFA maybe. Yeah.
But like with esports, like now, if you're going to be the best at Super Street Fighter V Turbo Extreme Edition, you're going to have to buy a $500 PlayStation. Like it's and then pay the extra money for the game. MOBAs, I understand, because it has that era of like, and you can play it on a toaster. League has very little graphic requirements.
He played it on his garbage computer. Yeah,
without a W.
Exactly.
But still, like that, it being open makes it seem fair. Like, I believe in it more, like that these really are the best in the world because anybody has the potential to pick up this game. But when a highly competitive game goes console exclusive, I feel like that'll hurt the community.
Yes and no. I would say, since Street Fighter is so established, I would say no. I mean, people are going to pick it up regardless. And then luckily, if they ever release like a cabinet for it, then, you know, you can go and throw your quarters into that machine and get your practice on and everything like that. Because most likely at the highest level, from what we saw at tournaments, they're usually always using, you know, sticks.
Yeah,
like, because, I mean, if you go home and you buy the $50 thing, and then how much are sticks average?
Well, the new sticks that are coming out for the PS4 are close to $200.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you're already spending almost three just for your.
It doesn't
your
seem
whole
practical.
Setup, your rig.
Since we got like an ambassador, you know, we'll call him a grassroots ambassador. How is that stick practical when you have such? It seems like you have the precision controls on
quickness
quickness of the buttons and the layout and the familiarity of a handheld controller going to those big old clunky sticks where.
Well, the thing is, when you're using a stick, you're not bouncing around. You have your fingers set.
Oh, such as me.
So I was gonna say.
You have your set in a certain area, and the thing is, you know, you don't have to look at where your buttons are. You know exactly where it is. So it kind of feels like a keyboard. You know, if you get really good at a keyboard, you can sit there and just jam down 100
So
words a minute, no problem.
Now, they just said Street Fighter is going to be cross-platform with a. What if somebody gets really good with a keyboard and mouse setup or something like that on the Street Fighter?
People do that.
Who's going to bring their keyboard up to the tournament, plug it in?
People do that. They some people do bring a keyboard, and other people, they actually make one with using the arcade buttons, where you have your fingers placed close to like an ASW, and then they'll use for spacebar, they'll put a button down there for your thumb, and that's your up for jump.
Wow.
Yeah, it's called a hitbox. You can look it up, and a lot of people play that way. And some people think it's cheap, but it's really what you're comfortable with. A lot of really good players play on pad, but a lot of players play on stick because, one, they're from the arcade community. Two, they feel like they can perform things better with the stick because you have access to all six buttons a lot easier than you do on the pad.
What esports reminds me of currently is, it kind of reminds me of the UFC. Like, when I was watching UFC, it's such a young sport, and it's new, and it's still developing, and a lot of things are the Wild West. Like, UFC just signed up a huge deal this last week, and it was a uniform deal with Reebok. And now, you know, before it was kind of like you'd watch a fight, and some guy would have an advertisement for Dude Wipes. Yeah, like some weird things. Condom Depot. A bunch of... like,
what were you watching?
That's just who the fighters got to sponsor them. But now, they're not allowed to carry their own sponsors into the cage. They can only wear Reebok gear.
Okay.
And there will be a pay scale based on that. Kind of like the NBA has Nike or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the next evolution of that sport. So, kind of, we had a story last week about unicorns sponsoring.
I was going to ask him about that too, yeah.
A team. Like, do we see any changes like that? Or like a designated keyboard, MLG keyboard, where you have to use this keyboard? Or are people getting advantages for having better gear?
And that's another thing that goes to your leveling the playing field, too. You know, there's regulation hoop size, a regulation ball size, and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, the keyboards and everything. Like, shouldn't there just be one to practice and learn that one?
With that, no. I mean, because I say no, because one, the community is very small. Two, you should be allowed to play with what you want to play with. I mean, just as long as you're not using macros and things like that to cheat, then, you know, things that humanly cannot be done, that always should be banned. But and also, when you're talking about that the U-Porn sponsorship, a couple years ago, actually, someone was in talks in the fighting game community. Someone was in talks with Brazzers.
Oh, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah. You saw that.
What's a Brazzers?
Yeah. You know exactly what it is.
I don't know what this is.
He knows exactly
what it is. It sounds like a toilet cleaning.
Do you think these are things that are detrimental to the actual sport, though? Or, like, do you think they're holding them back?
They're not detrimental to the sport, but it can be detrimental to the community.
Because, I mean,
letting those in.
The next evolution of this is to actually get on television. Right. Now, they've had some before. I've seen more now as opposed to esports. I've seen more just card game tournament finals on, like, ESPN.
ESPN, like Ocho?
Yeah. But still, nonetheless, on somebody's television.
Yeah.
And then even the president of ESPN, John Skepper, he went on there saying that he doesn't even see esports in the broadcasting future.
To be fair, I've seen the spelling bee on ESPN.
Exactly. Yeah, like, they really do have, like, that type of stuff. He actually even says he doesn't see it as a real competition or a real sport.
Wow.
Those are some heavy
words. But where poker relies on luck, and, I mean, of course, there's the
facial reading, and
the bluffing and all that stuff.
But a lot of luck.
Yeah, but it does rely on a lot more luck than, say, League of Legends or Dota, where there's still a lot of skill and team synergy that you got to deal with.
Yeah, in a game of poker, I can get
get
a royal flush and without not have to play any strategy.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, once ESPN finds a way to be able to market to esports on television, once they know how to do that, I'm sure they'll jump on that,
but
no problem.
It's a $1 million+ business right now,
It's always growing.
And look at Riot. Billion. They're in the billions now, right?
Mm-hmm. They're in the billionaires club.
Yeah. So yeah, they're big, and I don't understand why you haven't found a way to market it on TV yet. It's marketed all over the internet. You know?
I think that's the thing.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, imagine League of Legends. Whenever I watch the esports on Twitch, the most viewers they have is 300,000+, and that's just in America. That's just the American Twitch viewers. And they have different streams for different languages as well. Imagine all the fans that can't watch it, like if they're busy or they're working, if they can find a way to watch it on ESPN, something that's more accessible than having to be on a computer to watch it on Twitch.
I don't know. I think it does need to be on TV because I loved it when it was on G4, when it was on that
arena. Yeah,
and
that was
great. As set up as that seemed to, you know, be or whatever, even the commentating was good, like I said before. When we come back, we'll talk more about esports and we'll delve a little bit into the Sony experience because I watched that early this morning and I was a little giddy. So stick around. We get back.
Hi, this is Amber Goldfarb, the voice of Aveline de Grand Pré. And you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Hello, this is Cass Anwar Altair Ibn La'ahad from Assassin's Creed Revelation, and you are listening to the Video Game Bang.
This is Strife, the main guy behind Freedom Planet.
This is Commander Torque.
Hi, this is Lilac the Dragon Girl.
This is Spade.
This is Mayor Zhao.
This is Syntax.
Greetings, this is Lord Brevin, and you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Plus five, awesome.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
And you're listening to the Video Game Bang, which sounds a lot dirtier than it is.
This is Janice Davis, author of Holder's Dominion, and you're listening to Video Game Bang with superstar, incredibly charming hosts.
Hello, Super Aaron. Hello, Princess Cory. It's me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia. You guys, number one. Woohoo!
Words as well.
Bring up what?
People are juicing. People are juicing in esports.
Well,
there are illegal substances.
Well, there was a big controversy in the Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Get your mouth right up on that mic, Noah.
Well, wow,
terrible.
Somebody
shut up.
taking some what is it? What is the Ambient?
Adderall.
Yeah, or Adderall or something. Yeah. Welcome to Weekend Bang, everybody. We're talking drugs and games.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
We need to start an athletic commission or a.
Well, I mean, but if they want to be taken seriously.
Random drug testing.
Yes. If they want to be taken seriously, like you say, there needs to be a.
Justin Wong's going to end up being the esport Lance Armstrong.
Exactly. Exactly. Like what? Justin Wong has some strange disease caused by steroids? For the whole years he's been playing, nothing but steroids.
That's been his diet.
We had somebody actually. One of the writers at Nerd Reactor tried to experiment. Did we get any results on that?
I don't know. We should follow up with him on that. He was going to do an experiment with League of Legends and playing without... I think it was some sort of like attention deficit disorder drug. Mm-hmm. And then he was going to be playing with it and see if his scores improved. But that's so hard to judge because...
Something like Ritalin?
Yeah. Yeah. It might have been something like that. But because you're also, when you're playing without it, you're getting better every day. I mean...
So is it a thing where if you're drinking like Red Bull, will they ban something like that?
No. I doubt it. It's caffeine. It's to keep you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but does that give you an advantage?
Yeah, like, does it give you an advantage?
Yeah. A lot of times when I watch the LCS, they have their cups of coffee right next to them. They don't... That's nothing... as bad.
And that may be why the guy Skipper at ESPN doesn't see it as a real sport.
It's like how Gatorade has an endorsement with the NFL. It's like
Starbucks with League of
Legends. Because I guarantee
it's really like Monster or something stupid.
I thought Monster already is like a big sponsor of
esports. Yeah, they're a big sponsor.
They do Call of Duty and Red all that Bull type of stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And the Red Bull girls.
Yeah, there's Red Bull esports.
When the Red Bull girls come out and hand out Red Bulls at midnight launches and stuff like that.
You ever seen
that?
No.
Yeah, they'll come out in their little tiny car and feign interest in the guys in the line and stuff
that's
like that.
That's gotta be a hard job.
No, it's actually, I think it's very easy for them
to feign interest in
because
the
they're
mongoloids?
First of all, whenever we did the midnight launch and they came out, they were beautiful women, like always.
I don't doubt it.
And then they would go up to the guys, they take their pictures, and they'd be like, hey, tell us a joke or something. And then you get these horrible jokes.
They would ask the guys for jokes?
They try to conversate with them. So they were good. They were pros in every sense of the way, ladies and gentlemen. They were pros. And then they would hop in their little car and drive off into the nightfall. But it seemed like it's like, bam, you just made your night's pay. And all you got to do is hit up two GameStops. And there it is. But yeah, I mean, get a sponsor like that. Because like I said, we were talking right before the show, or right at the end of the show about it, esports already being on TV a long time ago. And Arena, to me, did a good job. You had the two teams, and they had to be good at different things. It wasn't just like, you have to be Street Fighter good. You have to be Tekken good. You have to, whatever we throw at you, you got to get into
it. That would be an interesting concept for a show even today. I think I'd be more interested in that type of a thing than I would be watching two top-tier teams of any particular game playing. I'd want to see Joe Blow off the street with his crew take on this other dude's crew in like a decathlon of different games.
And that's what they pushed, because it didn't look like there wasn't the esports jerseys that you see everybody wearing right now, the sponsored headsets that everybody's got on. It looked like 8 TVs back to back and 2 couches with everybody crammed on there playing their games. And it was awesome. Will Wheaton did his best to commentate, and he did a good job. They had some very dated games, so they had like Mech Assault or Mech Warrior. It wasn't or something. Dated
at the time.
I guess it wasn't at the time. Yeah, I guess those were the new hotness. Yeah, or whatever. They
had Unreal and Tekken, yeah. And I can't remember.
They played like Capture the Flag, and then I remember because whenever they had like Street Fighter, they would do the like, all right, who's going? All right, Ricky's the best guy at Street Fighter. You take on, you know. And then when Ricky lost, he'd be like, you suck, man. Like, you are our best guy. Nobody. Philip wasn't going to do it. Broke his thumb in the last game.
But that's dedication.
Yeah. Esports is huge. So, but the only thing that I was like, I like esports. I like the Street Fighter, though. I do like the Street Fighter over like League of Legends and the Call of Duty. Because to me, I don't know, it seems like that one is the more skilled-based one.
And it seems like it has a lot of history behind it. Like, there's a whole etiquette that goes into behind the scenes of just people just know what to do and the control, like, setting up their controls before the match starts.
Yes.
Interesting.
Their little mannerisms that they have before, little traditions, you know, shake hands after every match, like you guys were about to duel with swords or something like that.
And you get to see, like, I felt after watching the tournament that I would do okay. Like, I was like, that's what I think I can do. Because they, seeing how, like, they both chose their characters, whoever loses has a chance to change their character. And as you're watching from the outside, you see the two-player strategies. You see one guy has another guy's number.
Yeah.
And then that guy loses. And then he goes back and chooses the same damn character.
Doesn't
change his strategy.
I didn't understand that either. I was like, why wouldn't you... You just lost when that guy changed his strategy. It's time to lose, or it's time to switch up your skills.
Every match should go to a third match.
Are people like so stuck with their one characters in this type of thing where they're like, I can't do anything else with anybody else. I got to be right.
Yeah, in a game like Street Fighter, you want to master one character. So that way you will know what to do given the situation against any other opponent. But then it turns into you're not playing the character, you're playing the person.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, some person could be using Dan, okay? And then you have some person using a top tier character like Akuma. If this Akuma does not know how to play this Dan, the Dan's going to win. It doesn't matter. So, I mean...
But if you're Dan the Man, and then Akuma whoops your ass in the first round, why go with the same thing?
But that's your pinnacle, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you feel that the best you're going to do is with that character, you're going to stick with that character.
So then why wouldn't the strategy then? Because, like, you want to push it to the third. Kind of, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you master, like, 2 people, or, like, not even master 2, but master 1 fully. Like, I mastered Ryu. I know I can beat anybody on this planet with Ryu. And I'm, you know, close with anything with Sagat. And then I go into every match with Sagat. And I'm just whipping people. And then when I finally lose, then I pull out the big gun. So it's kind of a switch. That's, like, it's a mind mind freak thing.
Well, a lot of the higher-ranked players, they do have some other characters that they'll back to counterpick their opponent. So if, you know, they're using a character that they don't, that, you know, that they're the best at, or that they feel that they're at their best with, and you know, they lose, and if they only lose by a small margin, or they're like, okay, I know how this person's going to play now, then they're going to pick the same person.
Looking at counter picks and thinking about that, and the way League does it, where you can make bans and stuff like that, and I remember even just being a kid when my friend would come over, I would wait to see who he would pick before I chose mine.
Yeah, like that's the game. That's the game. Like,
is
that.
It is that an aspect of like the Street Fighter tournaments?
Or? It is. It is, but it isn't. You can, if you want to wait and see who they pick, and then you can, you know, counterpick. That's fine.
Does it happen where it's just like both of you pick? No, you pick first.
Well, no. Sometimes, depending on how you feel, you can even ask for a blind pick so that they have to tell the organizer who they're going to pick. And they can't pick anyone else at the beginning.
I would be concerned about that. Yeah, yeah.
I would think that would be just the rule then, right?
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, if I'm playing someone I know is going to play Zangief or something, then, and if I use someone to counter Zangief, I'm just going to go ahead and use them. I mean, if I do someone who's going to choose Zangief, and then I'm like, you know, I feel really comfortable with my character, Yun, against Zangief, then I'm just going to pick him.
I would be paranoid of that, and I'd wait till like the last 2 seconds.
Wow.
Every time. I'm just sitting there waiting for that timer, unless they pick first.
It's just like, yeah, do it. And then they randomly picks for you because you didn't pick you. Let's talk about another eSport that it had seemed like a big following, and it was on TV as well at the time at the height of gaming G4. They had the Madden game.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Madden Challenge. You remember the show where they had the Madden bus that would go around and people would play and you get eliminated off the bus of your, you know. Now, that game, I've seen people, as opposed to like a Street Fighter, when you watch them, they fight it out. You get your oohs and ahs from the crowd. And then after they're done, they shake hands and part ways. The Madden crowd, they play. You get your oohs and ahs. But emotions from the players are aggressive, one, basically. And you're like really devastated if you lose. Like, what are the differences that you've seen during tournaments from the sports esports and the fighter esports?
Well, if you look at actual, if you go to the bigger tournaments like Evo, mm-hmm. Within fighting games, I mean, the emotions run high at those types of tournaments. With the local tournaments and whatnot, they're usually the same people are coming all the time, and they're always friends. So, you know, you go, you shake their hand, you get your butt kicked, you say good game, then you walk away. You talk about what you did wrong, you talk about what they did right, and then you go to another station. And you go and figure out how to beat that.
Because
they want you to beat that, so that makes them think of other things to do to beat them.
So it's more of a community to improve everybody,
yeah.
As opposed to a Madden community, which is to tear everybody down.
Yeah, well, at first, because you were at the Madden tournament.
Yes.
Everybody there was a crew that came from Stockton, I believe.
Is that where they were from?
That would explain a lot.
Yeah. I'm from Stockton. I know that.
And then you also had another group that came from Oakland.
I have just labeled that whole esport from two cities that are like the worst in California.
Yeah. But you're playing, you're playing people from different parts, you know, of our region, and with $15 they put down, and that's going to the pot. Mm-hmm. So they got money on the line, and they don't know each other. Emotions run a little bit higher.
Oh yeah, when money's involved, emotion is.
Well, we saw skyrocketed. It was your tournament.
Yeah,
that there was some controversy in one game, and did that get brought up to your attention? Because I think you were more on the Street Fighter side when it all happened.
Yeah, no, I they talked about it. I just said that. I mean, you lost. There's nothing you can do about it. And I think what he asked for a no contest, and if there was a no contest, it doesn't matter.
He requested a no contest.
Wow.
Because
wow.
There was. The brackets. I mean, with the brackets, what are you going to do? The proof was right in front of the screen. He lost. I mean, there's not much you can do about it. And he also had, I don't think that was his first loss. So then he went to loser's brackets and he had a chance to come back.
Yeah, because he had that game wrapped up.
Yeah, he had it done.
I don't know whether he pushed the wrong, but his buddies told him then that's why you got to press start and go to timeout because he was trying to use
it. But no, he was super cool about it. I mean, at that point, of course you're going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So in your personal opinion, what's the next game do you think that's going to be the eSport? Like
an eSport?
Yeah, they change games all the time. There's games coming out all the time, competitive games. Like they announced some just today, really. What's the next eSport?
Well, I think in terms of numbers, it's still going to stick with the MOBAs, like especially Dota 2 and League of Legends, because one, they're always upgrading. Two, they've got the biggest community. Three, their companies actually, you know, help the community. You know, they're always out looking to spread the game. They're also, you know, giving away free skins and everything. And I mean, that's not going to die.
Do you think they? I don't know. 6 years from now, Dota 3, or do they just kind of make Dota 2 the best way that they can, so its longevity is, you know, 20 years or something like that?
Well, I mean, as long as there's a community behind it, and as long as the community is happy with the game, they will have no reason to update the game until they feel that it's time to upgrade graphics, it's time to upgrade system mechanics.
Noel, when are we doing League of Legends 2?
I don't know. I know they're working on a fighting game, actually.
As a, they're going away from their
traditional? No. They're just making one on the side. So I doubt they're... And I did, they just did the big Summoner's Rift update to make it look better.
Prettier and everything.
Well,
yeah.
They, it's not just that. They also added different... the camps all changed. They changed the whole jungle aspect. They changed a whole bunch of different items.
Is this...
They changed a lot. So
gamers hate change. Is this, is the community turning on them at this point, or are they just evolving and moving
forward? Yes and no, because some things became very overpowered, because of course right now it's preseason in League of Legends before, you know, the next season starts next year. But for right now, people are hating some of the changes. Me personally, I'm hating it too. Because it took away one of my roles, so I'm pretty much just stuck with one for right now that I'm actually good at. It's good and it's bad at the same time, because by the time the next season starts, it should all be balanced and finally fixed and everything, because this is all just trying to figure out how to prepare for the next season. But for now, I don't think there will be a League of Legends 2 for a very long time.
Well, that sucks. Right. Well, they're a billion-dollar company now, so yeah, it doesn't
suck at all. They get new characters. No. I mean, they just keep making champions. They're releasing another one after they just released one like less than a month ago.
It's good.
Do we see Overwatch going into
a major
esport?
Overwatch. Yes. That's
the Blizzard one, right?
Yeah,
that'll be an esport.
Well, it looks fun, but then you have to wait. I mean, you really can't say, oh, this is going to be esports. You have to wait for the game to come out. You have to see a community build behind the game and then see what type of how competitive it is.
What are the main ingredients to be a successful esport at this point? Like, is free to play that big of a deal?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
I think it's a factor. I mean, anyone could go in, not spend any money, play this game and be like, I really love this game. And then also play with their friends and say, I'm better than you at this game. Yeah. And then play other people and say, you guys suck. I'm the best. And then they want to go and compete.
Yeah.
I want to see scouts.
The main reason I would say...
Why don't you be it, Aaron?
Because I wish I could judge how well somebody did play
League of
Legends.
We'll get you a Jerry Maguire like coach.
And I would travel the country looking for these kids and be like, hey, you know, you can get sponsored by my company.
Why travel the country when you could just watch... streams.
Yeah, what you would
because
do
I need to see that person. I need to see them in front of their keyboard or controller.
Stock quality
streams. Yeah. No. They just
You're
have their webcam.
Stock.
That's fake. So if I showed you a magic show on my stream, you'd believe everything was real.
No, not like that.
All right, then. I need to be right there in that room.
That's the dumbest analogy.
Yeah, be right there in that room.
If someone isn't doing a video game stream with magic tricks,
all right, League of Legends, rabbit.
Yeah.
Well, you mean play Changi and just say
yeah, exactly.
Every time.
Like Smite, I don't understand why. Like, I really love Smite, and I've seen some of their tournaments go down, and everything like that. It's really like a next level thing. Like, if you think like, oh, I'm in high school and I can play basketball really well, I'm going to the NBA. Like, it's and then you get to the NBA and you get smacked down. Yeah, because that's the next level. It's the same thing with these esports at the ground level. You're like, oh, I'm really good at Street Fighter, and then you go to one of these even local tournaments. And you see, you know, Joe Blow over there come out and just whoop the mess out of you. You're like, yeah, it's a different
reminds
level.
Me of a story. I used to head up a Halo clan, Halo 2.
Sad.
And there was a guy who joined. He was a friend of a friend who I convinced to join because we would do these. A clan in Halo could have like, I don't know, 50 people. I can't remember. And so a clan like DOG who had thousands would break off into branches. So you'd have your own branch, go to a meeting once a week to discuss your numbers or changes in the clan policies. It was in depth. But I got a guy, his name was Problem, and he was the best Halo 2 player I've ever played matches with. He would just join it and he would wreck every time. And just his name started getting bigger. We were wrecking in our DOG inter-clan tournaments. Mm-hmm. We'd win them all. It's because I put together a super squad. I wasn't in it, of course, but I trained with them. I learned all.
So
I was
doing. They were.
I was
awesome.
Doing BXR.
What were you doing?
Being cannon fodder, giving them things to aim at.
Terrible.
But it was an amazing thing. But then one time we had. There was these two guys, they were brothers. They were on the MLG level called the Ogre Brothers. And one of them was a friend of someone, and we told him, we got a guy who can beat him one-on-one. And we believed in Problem. And he came in, and they chose a map, it was Lockout, and we all like went and hid in one of the corners of the game and let them hash it out. And it was the most epic back-and-forth moment of that Halo 2 that I've ever had.
Who won?
You'll have to find out next week.
The Ogre Brother won.
Sounds like Ogre Brother came in.
He won, but it was not by much. And it was like heated trash talk. Because that guy was like a top level player. He's in this thing with some nobody, and it was like it was problems make or break moment. Yeah, he'd been to MLG tournaments before, but it was team based, and he couldn't really get on the right squad. And I don't know why he was never picked up. I don't think he wasn't officially ranked. But this game was intense. The Ogre Brother won, but it was a slug out, outdrawn, cursing at each other. Yeah, even at the end, there was controversy. Like they hated each other afterwards. But
who did we play, Noel, in Call of Duty? A clan? It was the Yakum clan versus somebody else, and we played like a laggy game, and they beat us, and we were like, that's not a fair representation of how we play as a group or something.
I think I remember.
Were you in this?
Yeah, we got a private match with them afterwards.
I don't know if we...
Because we were sending messages back and forth.
I don't know if we re-upped
that
game. Was
this the clan, whenever we lost to them, they put on their clan tags, Jenny sucks or something like that?
No, I remember that one.
That one was hilarious.
Yeah, when Jenny played with us, yeah.
They learned her
gamer tag, and then by the rank of that they were put in, they put, as their clan tag, spelled out her name to put Jenny sucks. And they, I was like, for the organization it took to do that,
you clap.
You got to applaud. Yeah, you have to applaud. For the organization it took for you to be like, look, you're in this level, so everybody put in this, and then they spelt it out. And I was like, is that their clan name now? Is all Jenny sucks.
Wait,
that was
but
Call
I think
Duty
I know
4.
Which one. Was it in Black Ops 1?
It was in Black Ops 1.
I remember
yeah.
that clan. I do genius. Remember that. Because I remember I was super pissed off that game.
And I remember
they won because of pure lag.
And Jada played with us.
Oh, man. So there was ego.
Tanked hard.
Oh, really?
Like, I
remember
saying, I'm sorry.
That game.
Sorry, guys. And I was like, yeah.
Because
you tanked hard
in
this game.
That's back when we were playing Demolition, right?
Yes.
I remember because I would always sit back and snipe at least for one of the sides. And Jada was trying to protect the other side with a sniper, and she got wrecked.
Yeah.
These magic moments are what make the esports so successful, I think. Because when you go to these tournaments, if you're listening to this, just freaking do it.
See,
go online, go to your Facebook, type in your city, and then like video games. And there's communities out there.
Yeah, there is.
Your city has a thriving gaming community. I can't say thriving. What's thriving?
Yeah,
but
you're going to
you
got like
least
some middle of nowhere city. And they're like, you said it was thriving, Corey.
Well, I mean, if you got to drive a little bit, you got to drive a little bit. But there's places like Capital Fight District out there doing this for you guys. Jay's not in it for money.
Nope.
We talked to him.
He's in it for glory.
Yeah. it's just there for the fun. And these moments happen. You go there, you gather together, and you're watching these Madden games, and then that huge Hail Mary pass that goes through.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everyone goes fucking nuts.
Because I went nuts at the dinner.
That's what these things are, and it's the beauty of this.
So do you wish that there was a place, Jason, do you wish there was a place that people can congregate like this where everything is always set up? You come in, you pay a fee, and you know, quote unquote, what we call arcade.
Like a LAN center or.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. If there was something, well, there is not here, but, you know, there are places, and I really wish there was something like that here.
Because it'd be easier, I guess, to organize the tournaments, and everybody would know in Sacramento
where
to go. Yeah. You wouldn't have to, you know, Google search this place and that place to move around. You know, the esports center on so and so drive. That's where the
esports
whole
esports center. That's brilliant.
I mean,
I know
Kickstarter, everybody.
I watch like the Street Fighter tournaments on Twitch, like wherever they're hosting them at, that's essentially what it is, a huge LAN center. Because like there's just TVs set up on each side wherever you see people just playing video games. There's the one where they do the West Coast fight, the West Coast fights and all that.
That's a Super Arcade in Walnut, California.
Yeah, so
which is an actual arcade.
Yeah, so I know stuff like that definitely exists. Yeah.
I wonder what model is better, the model to pay for your time or have the time run and you just pay at the end.
I don't know.
I wonder what model.
That's where it gets into the business stuff, because the reason they don't exist right now is because they're not profitable. If someone figures out a system to turn a huge profit doing this, I'm sure we'll see them popping up like Starbucks.
Well, you know who is? Yeah. Everywhere.
But right now, it's just not. You'd have to make the money somewhere, and you're only going to get these big tournaments, on the weekends?
Yeah, pretty much. Or weekday. I mean, whenever there's a space available at the time available.
Because we get, you know, we had River City Comics and Games pop up here, and it was like, finally, we have one here. And everyone flocked to it. And then even a huge respected business, it was like the local flavor number two comic book store in the city, and it's just gone the next day. I mean, you think success is so hard to find for business owners.
And we've said before, support your local everything.
That's why we preach that on here all the time. Get into your communities.
We got to go through this, people, because we can't cover this up. The PlayStation Sony people, they came out today and had their little experience in Las Vegas.
Yeah, little experience.
And they showed nothing but games, though. They didn't come out and say, hey, Sony I.2.0 or whatever, here it is. They actually showed some games. Like we said already, they showed us Street Fighter, says it's going to be exclusive. Big titles to come out of it, though? Did everybody watch it in here, one?
I watched parts of it.
I watched from Bloodborne to Street Fighter.
So the first thing that I came into was Bloodborne. And I'm sorry, Noel. The game just looks like Demon Souls or Dark Souls.
That's what I like.
So then you will be happy.
That's what I want to see.
Procedurally generated dungeon?
I don't know. One thing that was weird, I think they said something where the dungeon is kind of a representation of your character?
What?
I don't know. First of all, the whole event was kind of weird because it was a mixture between English people, and English I mean by European English, and Japanese people. So there were so many accents, I could barely keep up with everything. So it was just like, oh, finally an American person. Wait a minute, he's Canadian. and literally, yeah, I don't actually think there was any American people. What's Tim Schafer? Anybody? Exactly. No. So I think that was about it. But anyway, yeah, they showed that game. I was watching it with Steven and Jerry. Then some Japanese guy came out. And this is not in the exact order, but a Japanese guy came out and he was like, you loved Final Fantasy VII, 18 years ago or so and so. Guess what? And then the screen goes black, and then the Final Fantasy VII comes up, and then Jerry is like, you don't understand how excited I am right now. And then they just show old footage from old Final Fantasy VII, and they're like, okay, where's the upgraded graphics? Nope, old footage from Final Fantasy VII. Wow. And like, hey, you can download Final Fantasy VII on your PlayStation 4 now.
Yeah, with upscaled graphics. It's like not a new rendering.
It's not a new rendering. Yeah. It's just like HD block people. This is
my take on these stage shows and the information gathered from them is that on games that people generally really care about, are fanatical about, Fallout, Skyrim's, all the major Call of Duties, we know everything a lot of times before the developer has everything fully fleshed out. We know things so soon that by the time they hit these stage shows, they're like, yeah, shit, we've seen that already.
Well, nobody knew about this one. They just thought it was going to be...
They'll give us like maybe a screenshot we haven't seen, little things like that. Things that there's a sweet spot, and I think it's like the Street Fighter. Like, it's a game that is popular. Everyone knows about it. We all respect it and like it. But I don't know if there's a huge populace of people driving to get the latest Street Fighter story.
In the community, in those deep communities, I think there are. So, I think for the new fighters and that they want to see it comes out.
Not enough, and it's not fanatical enough to have known about this exclusivity deal way before.
No,
so when that comes out, it's like, whoa, big news coming out.
What are you getting at here, though, with this?
What I'm getting at is that these stage shows, nothing really wows me
anymore.
Oh,
okay.
Because we know about everything important. Sometimes they'll give us a little glimpse of something.
They did some things that were new. The biggest new ones that they did that game, what is it? It's with Hayden Panettiere. No, it's like Till Dawn or something like that. She's but it's a game. Horror game. She's in the game.
A horror game?
Survival horror game.
Like a horror game.
Kind of like the Winter's type theme, Until Dawn, I think that's what
it's called. It's like Until Dawn. So what it does is it has a concept that's not new to games, but it's permadeath. So you're in a horror movie, basically. Like Saw, it looked like. And so they show her, she's getting out of shower, and Jerry's first question was like, why the hell are you taking a shower in this dirty, like, mansion, old place or whatever? And then the killer, you know, traps her in a room, and, you know, you have to, you know, get around or whatever. You know, you have to survive. But if your character dies from all the characters you play as, they're just dead. And the story adjusts to that.
Brings in a new character?
I don't know if it brings in a new character, or once you're out of characters, you're just game
what,
over.
What game was like that that we played a long time
Obscure
ago?
Obscure was there like that. There you go. And Obscure was amazing. Four players co-op.
The ending adjusted to how many characters
you had alive. Yep. That game was great. So Sony may have not shown anything wow, but they at least said, hey, we're here. I mean... And they're supporting indie games, which I'm hugely backing.
Yeah, they didn't give The Forest enough exposure.
They didn't give a lot of games enough. No Man's Sky is going to be shown twice. They showed it there, and they're going to show it again tonight. So I can't wait to get home and watch that with a box of, I don't know, Fiddle Faddle or something?
Yeah.
That was the Weekend Bang, everybody, and we talked about esports, and I know you enjoyed it. For Corey, Noel, and Jason, play more sports.
Esports.
Let me bang again, man. Now go fuck yourselves.
Nikki, what did you?
We're pretty much indie games, but I wasn't like thrilled. Like
new stuff that's gonna be what remains exclusives.
Yeah, what remains of Edith Finch? Right.
Never heard of.
Might
that.
Might as well be a book. they showed new gameplay footage of Batman. They showed...
That was interesting. You know what really grinds my gears is being a huge Destiny fan.
Just, they showed that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, okay.
But that exclusivity is bullshit because...
Oh, yeah, you're an Xbox. That's right. I forgot.
Wait, what exclusivity?
I can understand a timed exclusive of like a few months. But for Destiny, a lot of the stuff that they have, I'm not going to get until fall of next year.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And it hurts, I think, anybody like you whenever you see DLC coming and then it says fall 2015 for Xbox.
But it's like PlayStation will have it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then they got guns that I'll never see. They got all this stuff. So it's like my $59.99 wasn't as important as this guy's $59.99.
Well, I mean, didn't they have more of a following with the PlayStation because of the fucking... It had the console.
No, Bungie was kind of burnt with... Yeah. No, Bungie was burnt by Microsoft a little bit, I think, and whatever deal or exchange happened.
So this is a little jab back at them?
I think that's the thing, though.
I think it seems petty. Sony wants to do this, because last generation, it was Microsoft that got all the DLC for everything first.
Everything but Battlefield.
One game out of the freaking whatever.
Everything
you know,
but Battlefield.
Horse Armor came out first on freaking, you know... And so I think Sony is trying to be like, let's... flip the script back on them. Let's put, you know, let's get some DLC on our team before, you know, you guys get it or whatever. I never saw a problem with it. I just don't pay attention. Well, I mean, until I got into this whole really deep, you know, having to pay attention to everything, I didn't really see a problem with it until, like I said, until now. But you just don't pay attention to the other news. Like, I'm not paying attention to Sony news. I'm not paying attention to, you know, that stuff because I have an Xbox. So when it comes out on the Xbox, it just comes out on the Xbox. I don't play with, you know, people on PlayStation Network, so I won't know anything about it.
What consoles you got, Jay?
I have 360, PS3, PS4, Wii U.
Yeah, this is one of my friends. Yeah, I am right now.
Yeah, I went.
That's one of the tournaments that's going on.
Huge tournament going on.
Yeah, Intel Masters.
Yeah, I went to the PS4 just because I don't know. Out of console exclusive, I've always liked PlayStations over Xbox, and I'm glad I made that change, or didn't really make that change. I'm glad I stayed with PlayStation because PlayStation got the exclusive for the new Guilty Gear, which I love Guilty Gear, and then also now with Street Fighter, which super excited.
You chose
about.
Wisely.
The No Man's Sky thing is the only thing I think I was watching.
No Man's Sky looks super cool
because like last month or so, or a couple of weeks ago, he was like, "I'm going to show something new." For No Man's Sky at our experience. Have you ever seen the guy talk?
Yeah.
He looks down and he's like really uncomfortable. You could tell he's not a social guy. I sit in front of a computer 23 hours a day and I code everything.
He's like that A Beautiful Mind type guy.
Yes.
He was like a working stiff and he comes into work one day. I have an idea.
Exactly.
He's stupid. They throw him out and he's like, I'm in No Man's Sky.
Yeah, and his office is like just papers tacked on the wall. Yeah. That's it. With galaxies and different type of things.
Eureka!
So
I said that when he came up with the game.
They know that's their big one because they left that for last. Well, no, the last thing they showed was some stupid Drawn to Death game that just looked...
When we were first reporting on Walking Dead, No Man's Sky, it was before it was tied to PlayStation.
Yes.
So they must have got on the phone immediately.
Yeah, so you're welcome, No Man's Sky for a shot. And yeah, because it was on an indie show that I put together, and I was when I saw it, and you know, I was like, yeah, this is definitely. But you said something earlier before we did the show that I 100% agree with.
It resonated with you,
yeah, because you were like, you don't like games, Aaron. That doesn't. You say you don't like. They don't have purpose, and they have not really said anything. Like, what's your purpose in this game besides space exploration?
Yeah,
and
occasionally I say cool things.
I'm not really a Star Trek fan, and I'm not okay. Whatever. Okay, we're in a ship. Ooh, there's some Kleons. All right. I'm not here to, you know, do all that. I want to, you know, I want to have a purpose when I'm going in there. But the only purpose that I can come up with is because of the vast, you know, scale of this universe is I want to find my friends because they're going to just slingshot you across the universe and start you on some, you know. So I want to see, of course, more gameplay, what they have designed, because they actually showed weapons. And that little video that I posted up for everybody, they show weapons in his little interview. And
so monsters to slay or...
Something. And I wonder, can you just be a dick? Because so far, every monster looks peaceful. Like, oh, they're really? Just giant slow people that are slow beasts that just roam land. I'm like, can I just wipe out a planet? And he makes it sound like, yeah, if you go there and you start wiping stuff out, you wipe stuff out. And he was talking about how everything is so tied together in this game, like for a planet. If you're on a planet and they set up a demo where they had these like deer looking things jumping over the hill, and they're like, oh, that's cool, we want to put that in the trailer, but then let's try to add something else. And so they added something else to the world, but it made this ripple effect to where that mountain was gone and those deer never jumped over the thing anymore. So like, they can't really, like, it's hard making these, he said it's hard like making these little 5 second,
because their ecosystem,
yeah,
right?
Like, it's everything, yeah, is just whole, yeah, and it seems like so intricate that it's crazy, his ideas behind everything.
But all this technology and stuff, if they come out and say, hey, there's no storyline, it's just gonna be like Minecraft.
I still gotta try it at least, because I mean, I make my storylines. When I played World of Warcraft, I made my own storyline. I had a backstory for my character that had nothing to do with the World of Warcraft. Like, it was just, I had a backstory for multiple characters, actually,
that all tied in. I wonder how it's going to work with, like, death and stuff, because if there's weapons and other players, there's no way there's not going to be, a friendly fire or something.
Well, one thing that I saw, they said that if you come across a ship that's crashed, you can kind of, like, loot it, because it most likely would have been another player's, and all their stuff will be there, so that's yours. Like, and then they were saying other things, like, you have to really manage what you carry on your ship. Because, you know, you crash.
Can you steal ships?
That'd I don't be so know. Cool. Like, see, they're not going into detail. Hopefully tonight when
you go
they
to
show
planet Stockton, you don't leave your Aaron's ships unguarded there.
That, and I want to see that. Like, I want to see.
It's a smuggler's planet.
I want to see people really take this off, and you know, because they said all the plant life, all the planets, all the bugs, all the animals, all the spaceships. All procedurally generated. So that means everything is just, you know, brand new. It's like you play this game 5 years from now, you wouldn't have seen everything inside the game. So you're always seeing something new. And I'm like, they said, and the thing that really had me kind of like, how are you going to do this? Is they said there's going to be a map in the game. How do you map out a universe? Like,
you have to use constellations and stuff?
Like, yeah. And like talking with Gondo about that stuff, because there is no real direction in space. You're going like all different, like how do you do this? It's gonna be mind-blowing. And he says he amazes himself when he's watching the game. Like, he's like, wow. And then if you watch the full thing, you know, he shows the first planet he's on, and they're asking like, why do you go to this planet whenever you show the tech demo? And he's like, well, because we just think it's very beautiful, you know. You're gonna get some barren planets out there. And then he hops into, but he doesn't hop into the shape because he's in debug mode, and he just floats up into space, and then he's like, let's go to this planet, and then he goes down to another planet, and it's more barren, and it looks like industrial.
How long did it take him to get from one planet to the other?
Well, he was in debug mode, so it was instant. Oh, it was kind of like he flew real fast. He like held a button, and it shows him like just zooming through. But he said planets, even depending on, because there's gonna be planets smaller and bigger, they're full planets. You can walk around a full planet and come back to the exact same spot. Yeah. So, but what he said too was that the different planets aren't going to be crazy far away, because that's what he initially wanted, though, because he's a big sci-fi space, and he's like, that's what it is in real, you know. But what his art designer told him. He's like, how many covers in sci-fi books do you see that don't have like a crescent planet in the background?
Yeah.
Because they're closer in these, you know, fictional things. So they're going to be relatively close. Another thing is buildings apparently are going to be procedurally generated on some of these places. Some look futuristic. Some look like old industrial buildings that might hold some type of, you know, I don't know, secrets or something like that. They didn't really go into explanation of that. Fighting, you know, you're going to have different type of ships, you know, fighter ships, you know, frigates or something like that. And it just looks like there's so much in this game that it makes it hard to believe all is in this game. But the way that he explains how they made the game, then you're like, okay, it's possible. Because they're not making it traditionally like every other developer would make their games. They're going about it as, you know, they're really using the power of these machines that are out now. And I really hope that they, you know, they don't just keep it to one machine. I hope they kind of spread the love around everything. But his one thing, and that people like him, people like, I think his name is Jerkson or whatever, the guy who's doing EverQuest Next.
Oh, your guy?
Yeah.
Man crush?
The guys, I like these developers because when they ask them, and they seem to ask them all the time, what's next after this project? Their thing is like, well, I hope I can work on this game for the next, you know, 10 years. So they have a solid, great idea that looks like it's going to be great, you know, on paper. And then, you know, when they show a little bit of it, it looks like it's going to be great. And then they're like, oh, no, yeah, I'm just done with it. No, they're like, I want to work more and put more into this game and stuff like that. So it could be the same thing where it's evolving over time.
With the Street Fighter coming out, what are the things that you're worried about? Like, obviously, it's going to look better, but I remember, like, back before Street Fighter 4, didn't they try and do another really good-looking Street Fighter that just sucked?
Well, they did Street Fighter Cross Tekken, where they're Capcom working with Namco and merging the two. They were going to do a Street Fighter Cross Tekken, then also a Tekken Cross Street Fighter, which I heard is still in the works, but
yeah, after
Tekken 7, because Tekken 7's because they're working on Tekken 7 right now.
Hmm. Really excited about Tekken 7?
I love Tekken. I've played every Tekken.
That's one of the games that I had fun. Is Eddie in that game?
Eddie Gordo. He'll be in.
I was saying, was he part of that unit? I don't know which. I didn't know what universe
he
belonged to.
Yeah, he came in Tekken 3.
Oh, you can go. No one's holding you here.
Oh, yeah. No one has to go to work.
I'm still rolling.
Oh, yeah. Well.
You're not worried about hat hair? You got headphone hair going on right there. I want to get some spit and hold that side down. You're looking like something about Mary singing over there.
You get a haircut before the party, you hippie.
Alright, and if I don't?
And we're going to hold you at the door.
But they got a lot of stuff. Sony.
Later, guys.
See ya.
Nice meeting you, man.
Sony's exclusive on that No Man's Sky is the only thing that keeps me interested in Sony at all.
Yeah.
Everything else is whatever.
Yeah, but to go back to Street Fighter Cross Tekken, one of the things that was bad was the customizable gyms, which would add defense or add strength to your character, and a lot of people did not like that.
That is, because, I mean, you got a playing field that's level, and then somebody raises a stat on something, then, yeah, that doesn't seem fair at all.
But what looks good so far is that they're bringing back a couple of the mechanics from Tekken Cross Street Fighter from the gameplay footage. It looks like stage interactives, not just, you know, being able to throw something, but just going to a different type part of the stage like they do in Tekken.
Yeah.
And then another thing is like OTG moves. So like if you knock a character down, you can hit them while they're still down. Like they showed Chun-Li, she did a standing heavy kick while Ryu was down and it hit him. And so that's something that comes from Tekken. And yeah, but it looks like they're also trying to bring in some things from Street Fighter 3 as well, like some moves that I saw from Chun-Li is similar to Street Fighter 3 moves. So I mean,
that's interesting because when he watches it, he sees something completely different than I see. I did not
kicks
notice
and punches.
Yeah,
and then they had something that was from the Street Fighter Alpha series called Guard Break. If you're blocking for so long, they don't show a meter or anything, but in Street Fighter Alpha, if you blocked for so long, you saw your meter, and once your meter was down and you were still blocking, you would instantly stop blocking, and
you're just open for damage.
And you're open for damage.
Wow.
I remember when that game was announced, I was like, there's no way Tekken characters are going to even be on the level of Street Fighter.
They were the strongest.
Yeah, like, from some
Tekken fighters were the stronger ones.
That's what I've heard online and everything. Of course. Yeah, I thought it was just Hadouken after one another and just keep them back. It's like there's no ranged characters on Tekken. What are they going
to
do?
No, but they gave every Tekken character pretty much a way to
counter those. Yeah,
to counter the
they had Doni. To. They had to because you were just getting Tiger blasted across the screen. That's what that would have been. I do want to see the Tekken versus or the reverse.
Yeah, I want to see them come to the Tekken world. Then I'll be interested. What?
You're going to buy it?
No, I didn't say that. Okay. Come on now.
So that's it? We're done here?
Yeah, I think we're done.
All right, then. You can stop listening.